Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Ezekiel, a series of visions in which Ezekiel talks to God. Ezekiel lived in a time called the Babylonian Exile, when the kingdom of Judah had been conquered, the temple in its capital city, Jerusalem, had been destroyed, and many people fled to other countries like Egypt. The book of Ezekiel comes right after the book of Lamentations in our Bible. And Ezekiel's visions are set against a heavy backdrop of lament for many reasons. The temple has been destroyed, and there is no longer a place for the people of God to come together to worship. Ezekiel's people have been scattered, with many dead, many enslaved, many lost, and many unaccounted for. The land of their ancestors, a very real part of their identity, has been conquered. The situation seems hopeless and desperately lonely, but throughout Ezekiel's visions, God promises him that God is still with them, all of them, no matter how bleak their futures may seem. The breath of God can transform the universe, changing the landscape, filling valleys of dry bones with life, offering us new ways to connect with each other, giving our souls the fire to create from this old world a new world, one flowing with justice, kindness, mercy, and love. A reading from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. God led me all round them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. God said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise of rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, mortal. Prophesy and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then God said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. As much as we might like to think of ourselves as being capable, independent, and self-sufficient, the fact of the matter remains that we will always rely, in some form or another, on someone else. Sometimes we are reliant on a parent or caregiver, Sometimes we depend on the support of a partner or close friend. Sometimes we lean on an assistant or a therapist. Sometimes our lives are shaped by a mentor or teacher. At all times, we rely on God. Sometimes it can be hard to accept assistance, or to admit that you don't know what you're doing, or to accept that you don't understand something, or to ask for help. I am terrible at asking for help. The miracle of the Pentecost story is that the crowd was able to communicate, despite coming from different places and speaking different languages, because without communication, we can't have relationships or communities. When someone is speaking a language you can't understand, it can be hard not to start to kind of zone out after a while if you aren't in a situation where you can read subtitles. For that matter, I once attended a doctoral dissertation defense where I literally did not comprehend a single complete sentence, even though it was in English. In seminary, a friend once showed me a really cool app. He held his phone over a chunk of text in another language, like he was taking a picture of it, and the screen showed him an English translation. It brought to mind a line from the Pentecost story. In our Bible, it is, "All of them were amazed," but it can also be translated, "Awe came upon every soul." Awe certainly came upon every soul looking at my friend's phone that day as we sat around a table in the cafeteria. Still, I imagine that it pales in comparison to the awe that came upon every soul in that crowd 2,000 years ago. How amazing is it that we have technology like that? At no point in human history have we had such a capacity for communication and understanding literally at our fingertips. When I was a kid, my grandmother once told me that video phones were a figment of science fiction and would never be real. And yet, here we are. We are living in an incredible Pentecost moment of opportunity, able to communicate with friends and family anywhere in the world, even if communication through screens has never been our first choice. Can you even imagine how much harder and lonelier a pandemic would have been just a few generations ago? It's still a pale substitute for the kinds of in-person conversations that we had in the before times, but for the past 14 months, we've been able to hold up the foundations of our community through technology that allows us to hear and understand each other, a little bit like the miracle of language that allowed a crowd to hear and understand each other in the Pentecost story. It's not exactly a miracle, but it's no less miraculous. Throughout the season of Lent, we prepared ourselves to follow Jesus to the cross. Throughout the season of Easter, we rejoiced at the world-changing miracle of the resurrection and the empty tomb. But then, at the end of Easter, Jesus ascends, leaving us breathless on the ground as we wait for the Holy Spirit that he promises us. And now the Holy Spirit is here, swirling among us like a rushing wind, dancing over our heads, filling our lungs. So breathe in. Breathe in the Holy Spirit and the array of possibilities and the love of your community, the love you have for it and the love it has for you. Breathe in the strength to carry that love and the courage to offer it and the discernment to find where it is most needed. Breathe in the help that the world could give you and the knowledge it has to share, and the acceptance that you won't always understand it all.